Hello, this is George Cady, KCIW Community Radio's host of Coastal Classical Music, the voice of the Brookings Harbor Friends of Music. This is the fourth in a series of podcasts that focus on upcoming Friends of Music concerts, with information about the performers and the pieces to be played. I'll also provide a brief preview of some of the music, highlighting some special things to listen for to help you get the most from your concert experience. At the end of the podcast, I'll have details on where and when the concert will take place, how to get tickets, and so on, so have a paper and pencil ready. Also, you'll really want to stay tuned, because at the end I have a very exciting announcement concerning the Friends of Music. If you attended previous Friends of Music concerts this season, I'm sure you've been thrilled by the performances, all of them spectacular. And now we have another great one coming up on Sunday, March 6th, featuring an award-winning trio all the way from Germany. Pianist Catherine Klipfel, violinist Stefan Hempel, and cellist Emanuel Weser met during their studies at the Folkwang Conservatory in Essen, Germany. After only 2 short years of working together, the Morgenstern trio emerged on the German musical scene by being awarded top prizes and awards across Europe. They then became just the 4th trio to win the prestigious Kallikstein Laredo Robinson Trio Award in 2010. This is an American competition just for piano trios, but it attracts the top trios from all over the world. The Morgenstern Trio became only the 4th group to win it, and this prize catapulted them onto the American musical scene with performances at 20 top venues across the United States, including the Kennedy Center and Carnegie Hall. The Washington Post wrote of their performance, "The group displayed a unanimity, polished technique, and musical imagination that I thought had vanished from the scene with the demise of the Beaux-Arts Trio." For those of you who may not be familiar with the Beaux-Arts Trio, they were regarded as the gold standard of piano trios for some 5 decades. The Morgensterns are also scheduled to perform at New York's Lincoln Center, but in between these other prestigious engagements, they found the time to come and perform for us right here in Brookings, at prices much less than half what you would pay at those other venues. The program to be played by the Morgenstern Trio in Brookings will open with the last and one of the finest of the 45 piano trios by Franz Joseph Haydn. Haydn was instrumental in the development of chamber music in general, and the piano trio in particular. By 1797, the year in which this trio was composed, Haydn had completed his triumphant visits to London and returned to Vienna as a very famous and wealthy figure. He now had the luxury of taking time to compose works with depth and polish that had been absent when he was basically a servant, required to crank out works on command. And the superiority of his late trios, including this one, is readily apparent. There's another factor at work here which I've never seen mentioned in the literature. We've all read or heard of Papa Haydn's influence on Mozart, but Haydn outlived Mozart by 18 years, and I would contend that Haydn's late compositions were at least as heavily influenced by those of Mozart, as had been the case in reverse when Mozart was just coming into his own as a composer. I believe that Trio No. 45, to be played in Brookings, which was written 6 years after Mozart's death, reflects this influence. Take a brief listen. The second item on the program will be the Fantasy Trio by Frank Bridge. Bridge may not be as well known to Brookings audiences as many of the other composers we hear, but he was an important figure in the establishment of a distinct national British style. He lived from 1879 to 1941. The Fantasy Trio was composed in 1907 when Bridge was 28 years old. While his music went through significant evolution during the course of his career, the Fantasy Trio is representative of his earliest music, which you will easily appreciate as the late Romantic style. The work was submitted in a competition for composers to write a fantasy piece, specifically a single-movement work of moderate length with multiple sections differentiated by changes of tempo and rhythm. The competition was sponsored by a wealthy amateur musician named Walter Cobbett, whose aim was to promote the creation of new English chamber music, and in the case of the 1907 contest, to develop a unique genre which he called the fantasy. In spite of the free form which Cobbett was seeking, Bridge managed to incorporate quite a bit of classical structure, including sonata and scherzo forms, all within a 15-minute time span, and the work took first prize. It opens with a stormy flourish, passing through successive moods from melancholy to euphoria before closing with a recapitulation of the opening theme. The whole piece is a brief tour de force for a piano trio to show off its full range of expressive capabilities. Here's the opening flourish, followed by the abrupt shift to that first melancholy passage. And now we come to what is generally regarded as a towering fixture of piano trio repertoire, the Piano Trio in A Minor by Maurice Ravel, composed in 1914. Between 1903 and 1914, Maurice Ravel produced three magnificent chamber music pieces that are among the finest works of early modern music. With Debussy and Satie, Ravel defined a new style of French music that made a sharp break from the 19th century romantic tradition, drawing from many exotic sources, entirely new sounds which we now identify as impressionist emerged. Ravel's Piano Trio is an extraordinary representative of that style. The trio opens with a sonata whose two themes, one dark and one lyrical and bright, employ exotic modalities derived from Asian and Spanish sources. I'll be concentrating on the third movement, but I just can't go there without first listening to the gorgeous opening theme of the first movement. And by the way, this and all following excerpts from the Ravel Trio are beautifully performed by the Morgenstern Trio in a recent recording of a live performance in Rostock, Germany. Thank you. The second movement is a scherzo full of brilliant rhythms and color. Ravel called it a pantoum, referring to a Malaysian form of poetic verse where the second and fourth lines of a verse become the first and third lines of the next verse, indicating Ravel's intense focus on structure. I think that trying to find that pattern while listening to the music is, frankly, a distraction, and so we'll move on to the emotional center of the piece, the third movement. It's a slow passacaglia built around a ground bass melody that recurs through ever-changing harmonic contexts, not always or even mostly in the bass. The beautiful passacaglia theme serves as the bass for 10 repetitions, beginning low in the piano, climbing up into the cello, rising even more with the violin, and then continuing to be woven in with new harmonies that provoke a variety of emotions. Here's the first three variations, highlighting respectively the piano, cello, and violin. This movement is so beautiful and so important to the whole piece that we're soon going to hear the whole thing. But first, let's listen to the fifth variation because it illustrates an important compositional technique frequently used in piano trios. The problem with this combination of instruments is that the composer must be able to blend the three instruments in such a way that the more powerful piano doesn't overpower the other two. A way in which this is frequently handled is to write so that the range of the piano is lower than the violin, but higher than the cello, so that it maintains a distinctive voice between the other two instruments without overlapping them. This is what happens pretty consistently and clearly in the fifth variation. See if you can pick it out. Now let's listen to the whole beautiful movement. Remember that the players are the Morgenstern Trio, the group that will be playing here in Brookings on March 6th. ¶¶
Thank you.
In the fourth and final movement, Ravel seems to abandon the careful focus on structure apparent in the first three movements and closes in a flurry of unusual meters, brilliant colors, and what Ravel himself described as insane heroic rage. The music is bright and energetic, with no hint that it was written in haste just before he was called away to serve in World War I. Let's close with a little of the Morgenstern's insane heroic rage. Finally, guess what? Plans are afoot for the Friends of Music to build its own concert hall, dedicated primarily to the performance of classical music, right here in Brookings. If that isn't an exciting development for local classical musical fans, I don't know what is. For details, as they are known at this time, you may want to consult the February 20th edition of the Curry Coastal Pilot, or address email inquiries to bhfriendsofmusic@gmail.com. bhfriendsofmusic@gmail.com. Now pick up that pen and paper that you have handy, because here come the details you need to know about the upcoming concert by the Morgenstern Trio. It will take place on Sunday, March 6th at 3 o'clock p.m. This and all Friends of Music concerts this season will be at the Seventh-day Adventist Church, located at 102 Park Avenue in Brookings. Tickets cost $15 for adults and students are free. You can get further details by calling 541-412-2957. And this concludes today's podcast of Coastal Classical Music on Community Radio KCIW. I'm George Cady saying, I'll see you at the next concert.
If you enjoyed this program and want to hear more like it, consider supporting Curry Coast Community Radio and help us get on the air. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org. Thank you for listening.